Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church in this last Sunday of August. We are getting to the last quarter of the year. Time is flying by. God has given us one more day to live in this world, to be a blessing here. Thanks be to God for His amazing grace and love that He shows us every day. If you turn with me to the announcements, those are the regular announcements that we have at the second page in the bulletins. The food bank ministry continues. Please donate in cash or in kind. And the books are available, which will also benefit our mission work. Our third Thursday luncheon will be on September 18th at 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral in Cumming. Please join for a time of fellowship and lunch. As you all know, today is the last Sunday of the month. We'll celebrate our blessings of the month, and we'll have lunch after service. Please join. All are invited for that. Next Sunday, September 7, will be the first Sunday of the month where we will celebrate the Lord's Table and the Holy Communion together, along with the together with our Hispanic ministry folks with our Holy Communion next Sunday. Please join. All are invited for the Lord's Table. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us in this community faithfully with the opportunities that God has given us to do. Please take advantage of the online donation facilities that we have on our website, using our credit cards, debit cards, and many other options there that you can use for donating to the church. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any special announcements? Nobody else has any other announcements. We will continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 158 in the Blue Book, Come Christians Join to Sing. Please stand if you're able. Let us pray. Eternal and almighty and everlasting living God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us as your children to come in this church and also online to worship you. We thank you for your manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day. Even when we don't deserve them, you continue to be faithful to us, O God. Thank you for your protection and care, and indeed all the safe life that you offer us every day. And your faithfulness is new every morning. We come before you, dear Lord, to thank you above all for the grace and redemption that you have shown to us through your Son Jesus Christ, through whom you have given us eternity to share with you after this world. You also opened the way to eternal life through your Holy Spirit to sustain us every day in this evil and tough world that we live in. We come before you as your children, different in many ways, but one in spirit, to worship and praise you for your marvelous works. May the services of word and praise we offer today be bring glory and honor to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other.
But these guys love to play. That's what it is. They practice all year. They work it out there. Oh, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
It's easy.
Our congregational hymn is 368. You can stand or remain seated. It's your preference. It's also going to be on the screen. Jace, would you please scroll that along with the singing? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Let us sing it together. Celebration of the blessings of the month. If you have any blessings that you want to call out to thank God for, like birthday, graduation, anniversaries, new homes, new jobs, new car, whatever you have, you count as a blessing. Please call it out so we can thank God. Everything is a blessing, in fact. So every breath we take is a blessing from God. That's how we look at it. So let us thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives.
Anniversary.
Oh, it's our anniversary on August 15th. Yeah, it was on August 15th.
41
years.
Yeah, we have, August is a big month. So Jace is the 7th, Amanda is the 16th, my brother is the 20th.
Wow.
Marcus's mother was the 20th, and Lily is the 28th, and Marcus is the 30th.
Wow.
And,
oh, wow.
And the soon-to-be, I guess, father-in-law, Tony, he's the 31st, so Tori's father is the 31st.
I'm amazing. She remembers all of it.
Yeah.
That's,
I think I,
that's the amazing part. I can't even remember two of them.
Expensive months.
Yeah, and also you have a May that is like
May.
That.
Yeah, May is being like that's
right.
Mine's
so
May.
Yeah, that's good to know. Anybody else? Any new car? No. New jobs.
I
need one too. All right, so let us pray this prayer together. If you turn with me to page 403 for True Life. It's a prayer at the bottom of that page that we'll pray together. Govern all by thy wisdom, O Lord, so that my soul may always be serving thee, as thou dost will, and not as I may choose. Do not punish me, I beseech thee, by granting that which I wish or ask. If it offend thy love, which would always live in me, let me die to myself, that I may serve thee. Let me live to thee, who in thyself art the true life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, you are the giver of light and life. We thank you for the gift of life and family and friends and church and fellowship, and all the blessings that we have in our life is from you. Help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We pray for those who celebrate the anniversaries and birthdays this month, O God. We thank you for a new year in their lives. With the passing of time, you have increased and deepened their love towards you and for others. We give you thanks for your past blessings and pray for your continued mercies upon them, O God. Renew your blessings upon them that they will enjoy many happy years in the days to come. Cover them with your love, comfort them with your joyful presence, and confirm them in their hope. May your Holy Spirit strengthen them in faith and fill them with the love and service for you and for others. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now if you are able, please stand for the responsive reading, which is Psalm 143 verses 1 through 10. It is on page 856 in the book. If you are able, please stand.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, in your faithfulness, give an ear to my supplications, in your righteousness answer me.
Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one is righteous for you.
For enemies have pursued me, they have crushed my life to the ground, they have made me sit in darkness like those long dead.
Therefore my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled.
I remember the days of the old. I meditate on all that you have done. I muse on what your hands have wrought.
I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land.
Make haste to answer me, O Lord. My spirit falls.
Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit.
In the morning, let me hear from your steadfast love. For in you I put my trust.
Teach me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul.
Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies.
I have fled to you for refuge.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on a level path.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now we come before God with our prayers of concerns and blessings, so that we can thank God for our blessings and also bring our prayers and burdens. And united in faith, God will answer our prayers. The prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin, the boxes listed there. Please continue to pray for these people and these items listed there. Wayne is getting much better. He can walk around, and he was driving yesterday. And the prayer request is for Carol now, because Carol's condition is getting worse. I don't think she recognizes people now, right?
I don't think she recognized me, but even though she acts like it.
So it's becoming a big care issue for Wayne. She forgets everything, and I think there is some caregiver that comes.
Twice a week
or so, but she needs probably 24-hour care. So please pray for Carol, and also pray for Wayne during this time of their sickness that they are going through. Pray for Sean and Amy Conway and Harry Crumlin, and also pray for regular prayers for Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Jerry Raines, Ed and Bertolo. Continue to pray for them, for their progress in their recovery. Pray for the people who are grieving, the families, Johnson family and the Thomas family. Please pray that God will give them the peace and his presence during this grieving time. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, many others, especially during this Labor Day. Let us remember honestly and thank them for their services. A lot of people are working behind the scenes every day to make our lives comfortable. The construction workers and grocery clerks, delivery people, many, many others. Please stop and give thanks to them if you could, and also remember them in our prayers in their and their families. Let us pray for world peace, that God will bring peace to this world, and let us lift up all the world leaders, that they will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Pray for the nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and governors and many others who make decisions that will bring peace and unity to this country, that we will have a United States in the literal sense, that we will be leaders of the world when it comes to world peace. So pray for our church. Let us pray that God will help us to continue to do this ministry in this community faithfully with the opportunity that God has given us. Pray for all the churches in this coming and around us, so that plus the pastors and also the missions and ministers who work in various ways. Also pray for the world church at large, missionaries and many, many others who work in various parts of the world. Let us also remember them in our prayers. Those are the prayer requests that I have. I also want to remind you for the prayers for the families that are affected by the school shooting last week. Terrible things happening around us. Pray for comfort and peace during this time for those parents who lost their child, who are now tending to the ones who are hurt. And the whole community there is grieving and going through pain. So please remember that. If anybody have any call outs, special prayer request to call out? If nobody has anything else, we'll go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, then I'll close with a closing prayer. Let us pray. Promise in the scripture is to bring your needs and prayers to God and do not be anxious about anything. But present your request to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children to thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us, O God. Help us, Lord, always to be grateful for every blessing that we receive from you and you alone, because you are the giver of life, and the blessings that come are all from above, the Father of heavenly lights. Help us, Lord, always to remember and understand your faithfulness every day of our lives, and covering us with your safety and protection. We come before you with our burdens and concerns also, O God, because we are broken in many different ways. Especially we lift up those who are waiting for healing in their bodies, who are sick and many ways are broken. We pray for Wayne and Carol. Thank you for the progress of his recovery. We pray for Carol especially as she is going through his dementia and the related issues. Bless them, Lord, and guide them during this difficult time to find the right care for Carol, and continue to be with them and comfort them with your presence and give them peace during this time. We pray for all those who are looking for their healing in their bodies, Harry Crumlin, Sean and Amy Conway. Pray that you will give them your healing according to your grace and your time. Above all, we pray for peace for them and for their family members. We pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace Ains and Harry Basur and Evan Bartolo. Continue to be with them and bless them with your sustenance and guidance every day, and strengthen them in their faith and their body. We pray for world peace at this time. We pray for the world leaders that they will make peace. They will make decisions that bring peace to this world. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, many, many others who serve us on a daily basis. Help us always to be thankful for their services, and we pray that you will keep them safe and give them the blessings that they need in their lives and their families. We pray for our nation, our presidents, vice president, leaders of the Congress and governors and many others who make decisions, that they will be guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit every day, that they will make decisions that will bring good to this country and to the people. We pray for world leaders. We pray for our church and all the church leaders around the world. We pray for all the churches in this community. We pray that you'll bless the pastors, the ministers, and all those who work for reaching out to share your love in this community. Bless us, Lord, to be faithful in the opportunity that you have given us in this area to do your work. Help us, Lord, to spread your love in many ways as we can possibly do with our actions, our words, and in our deeds. We thank you for this time that you have given us to gather here to worship you, O God. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord, and open our hearts and our minds to receive your word and your power, so that we can be more powerful witnesses for your love in this world. May the services that we do here will bring honor and glory to you. Bless each and every one of us here today, Lord, according to our needs, and touch our hearts and our bodies according to our needs. Be with us and help us, Lord, as we continue to worship here again. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
thank you for this beautiful day and all of the gifts that you give us and blessing and just being in our lives every day. And thank you that we have the opportunity to give some back. So we pray that you can bless this offering and let it multiply and be able to benefit all that you need to do. So we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We come before your word expecting from you the power of your word to fill us, Lord. Open our hearts and illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message we hear today. As the word is proclaimed, help us joyfully receive the word that you're preaching to us. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word. Give us the grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we finished with the letters of Paul, the prison letters that Paul wrote from prison in Rome. And now I wanted to continue with the Pentecost season. As you look in the bulletin, it's the 12th day of the Pentecost, after Pentecost. The church takes this time until the season of Advent that starts in November, ending in looking forward to Christmas celebration. So until that time, the church around the world uses this to study our doctrines, our faith, and also how we can have a holy and victorious Christian life in this world through the various teachings in the Bible. So Peter, one of the disciples of Christ, wrote two letters in the Bible, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And we can start looking at the letters of Peter when he starts writing to the exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So he starts with addressing the people who he's writing the letters. He's not writing to a particular church like Paul did to Ephesians or Philippians. or Romans. Peter is writing to a group of people scattered throughout the province of Asia. And he calls them, he addresses them, he says that to God's elect exiles. It's a very interesting way Peter addresses the people of faith, elect exiles. And Peter's letters sometimes I find to be very hard Paul's letters are sometimes hard too, but that is more in a theological way. But Peter's letter is more that he uses very complex sentences in his letters. So I looked at various different versions of the Bible to see if somebody can break it down. And no, it's not. Every version that I went through, English and other languages, even in Greek, that is written, are very complex sentences. He doesn't stop. Continues for a long sentence, complex sentence. So you can see that throughout his letters. So that is why some people, even though it says that Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing to these people, some scholars are saying that Peter probably could not have written this because of the complexity of the structure of the sentences in the Greek language that they find. Because he was a fisherman. He never had any formal education as far as we know. So some people are saying that he probably dictated to somebody or used as a transcriber, a writer, to write these letters anyway. But to me, God can use anybody and make things happen, right? So if the Holy Spirit gave him the message, maybe he wrote it. It doesn't matter. It was through Peter that we got this message anyway, regardless of who wrote it. So when we have to study these letters very carefully, word by word, because the sentences are so long and complex. Here he is calling the people of faith at that time scattered all over those provinces in many parts of Asia. So these are Gentiles and also moved Jews to this place, people who have moved from Jerusalem and other places, Jewish people who moved, relocated to these areas also. So the churches that they established, Peter and Paul and many others at that time established in various parts of the Asian region, now in Turkey, most of these places, Turkey and Greece, have these churches, small churches, and that's what he's addressing those churches, and he calls them scattered people and calls them elect exiles. So that's an identity that the people of God, Peter addresses as elect and exiles in this world. The Bible addresses the people of God in many different ways. We have a special identity, and it is not the world that gives you an identity. Many of us have different identities. Like sometimes we add our education to our names. Like a doctor says doctor. That's an identity, right? A pastor says pastor so-and-so. That's an identity. So many people have identities attached to their names. But knowingly or unknowingly, we have our own identity that we establish as we live out in this world. And in the scripture, it says in many different ways that our identity mainly as in this world is as children of God. If we are children of a particular parent or from coming from a particular family, we show the traits of that parent. So as children of God, we have to show the trait of our Father. And our Father in heaven is God, and God is love, and we are supposed to be showing the love of God to others. That is one identity. Then another identity that Paul talks about in his letters, in many letters, that say we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We have our own citizenship in this country, in this world, the natural citizenship of this world, whatever we belong to a country like US or anywhere you are. But as Christians, we have a different identity. In addition to the worldly citizenship that we have a citizenship in heaven. So do not live in this world as citizens of this world, but always look forward to the kingdom of heaven as citizens of heaven. So that's another identity.
And Peter is identifying the people of faith as God's elect exiles. In this world and culture today, finding ourselves and our identity and discovering who we are is very important. Many people are very passionate about it, particularly the companies, the corporate companies. They want to establish an identity and their logos, their copyrights, you know, that's sort of establishing their identity. And they would not let anybody infringe with any of them, right? And that's very, very important for them. So for us as Christians also, our identity is very important, and we have to always be aware of who we are. And many times we sometimes forget, right? When things come around this world, as they live out in this world, many things happen, many situations arise, and we may not always acting like the children of God, right? And somebody cuts you off in traffic sometimes, and you are in a hurry. It may not be your trait of God, Heavenly Father, that shows up at that time. So we sometimes change, and it's natural as we live out in this world. There's a story that I probably shared with you, that a young boy who recently graduated, was looking for a job, and he could not find a job. And finally, he went to a zoo to apply for a job, and the zookeeper said, "I will tell you what, our gorilla just died, and we won't get another one for a few months. Until then, I can give you a job if you can dress up as a gorilla and just walk around in the cage and act like one, so until we get a new one." Well, he was desperate for a job. He said, "I will take it." So he took the job, and first day he went to the job, and he put his suit on and started jumping around and getting into his job, and he begins shaking the bars and jumping around like a monkey or gorilla would do. And accidentally, as was jumping around, he accidentally opened one of the gates next to his cage, and it was the cage of the lion next to it. So you know what happened to the guy. He got scared, and the lion looked at the open gate and then started coming slowly, roaring towards this boy, and he started crying, "Help, help, help, I am not a gorilla, I am just a boy," and started crying out. And the lion came close to him and whispered in his ears and said, "Shut up, you fool, or we'll both get fired." So what I was saying is, sometimes we act like that, walking around with one suit on, but on the inside we know it is only an imitation that we are wearing. Peter is exhorting to these people, always understand that you are an elected group of people. An elected and selected by God, that's what elect means. Even though we try to define ourselves in many different ways in this world, our ultimate identity is given to us by God because we believe in Jesus Christ. And we have a living God who we identify ourselves with. So always as a follower of Christ, we find that our descriptions of our life should always be with the identity of Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in elect. Sometimes people think that elect exiles is in a paradox, like it doesn't go together. But it does. If we look at what Peter continues to say here, it is not a contradiction. Yet exiles that are elect by God, they were told to live as exiles in those places because they were relocated to these places from various regions, mainly because of their faith. They were persecuted. So they moved from place to place. And being chosen by God makes them exiles. God drew them out of the world through the faith in Jesus Christ. God is the one who drew them from this world to become God's children. So that's why he called them elect. Even though they are exiles from many different parts of the world, they are elect. Being chosen by God makes them exiles. Because when you are chosen by God, this world becomes an alien world to us.
the world in this time and age, I don't have to tell you, is not a good world around us in terms of evil and hatred and many things that are happening that shouldn't be happening around us. Of course, we are progress. We are enjoying the progress of what we achieve every day. We enjoy a good life. But along with that, on the other side, evil is flourishing. And I don't have to tell you, open the TV and you can see how many shootings happen. Is there one day in the news without a shooting anywhere, somewhere in Atlanta or somewhere around? That evil is flourishing. So when Peter is telling them, when you are an elect people of God, the world become a strange place to us to live. It is like the fish living in sea. Even though the fish live in salt water, a fresh fish caught will not have salty taste, right? Unless you add salt to it. It is just like that. Even though they live in salt water, they do not absorb the salt into their body. We have to live like that in this world as elect children of God. Even though we are in the world, we are not of the world. We do not take on those things on us, the evil things that God tells us not to take on in our lives. We ought to live as elect children of God in this world, because when you are elected by God, you become exiled automatically. You feel like you are in a strange land. This world is not our home anymore. We look forward to a world that is eternal, built by God. And we long to be part of that after this life in this world. That is what Peter is teaching us. Being an elect God's kingdom is a cause of celebration. It is not a cause of, a lot of people think that when you come to faith, it is very hard to live because you have to keep your testimony, your life, not just like the worldly people. You won't walk around drinking and, you know, doing things that other people do. We have certain limitations that we force on ourselves because we are children of God. But that is a cause of celebration, not a cause of complaint. Because we have a heavenly kingdom that we look forward to, and we will be there with God one day enjoying the presence of God. God gave us the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we read on verse 3. That God gave us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. So we are looking forward to an inheritance. How many people have inheritance that they are planning to leave for their kids? We do. Or at some point in life, when we leave this world, we write a will or some kind of a document saying that, hey, this portion goes to this son, and I always encourage people to make a portion to the church, because we need that too. Because when you leave this world, somebody else is going to spend the money. It better be the church. So you can reach out to more people. So keep that in mind also. But what I'm saying is that if we have that kind of inheritance, our children will be happy to receive. I hope they will be happy to receive the inheritance. I'm sure I'll be happy to receive my inheritance from my dad and father. Our inheritance in heaven, Peter is saying that it's an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. All the inheritance that we make here will spoil and fade and will be spent by somebody else one day. And it will be gone. But the one that we are looking forward to as children of God in the kingdom of God, we have an inheritance that is built by God and it will never spoil or fade. And that's the inheritance that is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. That is the heavenly hope that we have. So we are not only elect people, but we are also exiles in this world looking forward to a heavenly kingdom. This is not our home. We are longing for a home that we are looking forward to. That is not anything new. Even in the Old Testament days, we read that they were all looking for a home that is built by God. We read that in Hebrews. The Hebrews writer says that all those people of faith in chapter 10 and 11, we read all the heroes of faith, including Abraham, David, and Solomon, all those people that he lists there. They were all in the Old Testament times also. They were living in this world as exiles, looking forward to a kingdom that is built by God, which will never fade or perish. And that is what the identity of the people of God even today. Even though this was written sometimes in the first century AD, about 2000 years ago, it is true for us even today. The world is not our home. It cannot be our home, because that is not what the world looks like. We have a home that is built by God. We are strangers and exiles in this world. The term is very relative to them. They can identify it with them because they were exiles in these places. They were relocated there because of their faith. Apparently, Peter and Paul went to many of these places and established these churches. And Peter eventually preached the gospel in these places, and then he went to Rome for some reason. And I don't know what exactly the reason. The history never tells us that. Apparently, Paul went there as a prisoner. But Peter went to Rome, I don't know, to visit Paul, or he wanted to preach the kingdom in Rome also, along with Paul. We don't know the story, but history says that Peter was also put to death by Emperor Nero in somewhere in the 70 AD, when the Roman city was on fire and destroyed the whole city. He blamed it on the Christians, and he killed most of the Christians during that time. And Paul was beheaded, and then Peter, according to many historians, that crucified. He was crucified just like Jesus. But some historians say when he was crucified, he said he didn't want to be crucified because he wanted to kiss the feet of his master. He told them to crucify it upside down. So there is a cross in Rome. In many places they use that, but in Rome, where the St. Peter's Basilica is supposed to be built on top of the burial place of Peter. So that's why Pope is the descendant, or the Pope comes from the lineage of Peter. Peter was supposed to be the first Pope. They venerate Peter as the first Pope in the Catholic Church. So Peter. St. Peter's Basilica is supposedly built on the place where Peter was buried. Anyway, we'll continue to study this, and we also look at the life of Peter that we have looked at in the past many different times. But this is very important, how Peter's life became what we see here today as the establisher of church and the foundation of church. And remember, Jesus told him that you are Peter Cephas, you are the rock on which I will build my church. So that really happened. Because of Peter, the church started growing in Rome, and the Catholic Church claims that Peter is the first pope for them, and some of the Orthodox churches also believe that he is in Antioch, in Syria and Damascus, that they also believe that their first bishop was Peter also. So these are the things that Peter is teaching us. We'll continue to study these things. Rather than being permanent residents in this world, we have an eternal home. As citizens of heaven, we should not be living in this world, because we are not of the people of this world. We are living in this world, but not of this world. Since we have been selected by God to be children of God, in this world we are looking forward to a kingdom that is not perishable. And living with an exile mentality is what we have to do. Our foundation of hope is on Jesus Christ, as we sang here today, the one who will come and establish his kingdom in this world. And we look forward to that, and that's our heavenly hope. And we'll continue to study that as we progress with the next few Sundays. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 701. when we all get to heaven. If you are able, please stand. 7. People of God, we have been born again to a living hope, looking forward to an inheritance, so that we will be there receiving our inheritance one day because of Jesus Christ. Because of the faith through Him, we have a kingdom that we look forward to. So live in this world, not of this world, but as aliens and exiles, looking forward to a heavenly kingdom. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.